Glasgow Conversations. Meet the people energising our culture today.
Well, hello and welcome to Glasgow Conversations. I'm Scott Docherty from Top 10 Glasgow Guide. I'm here today with Rosie Robertson, the manager of the Calton Heritage and Learning Centre. So thanks for coming on today.
You're welcome.
So do you want to start by telling me a wee bit about how you got involved with the centre?
Well, I've been a community worker for about 10 years in the East End of Glasgow. I'm the result of a sort of peer education programme in Bridgeton, actually, about 10 years ago, that looked to support people in education.
Okay.
And I was one of those folk that was lucky enough to do that.
Right.
So they took me through my sort of community journey, gave me loads of opportunities, which included getting a chance to go to uni and do my degree.
What degree was that?
It was in community development.
Ah, right, okay, yep.
And that's come full circle because I now do a wee bit of teaching for them, and I've worked in a variety of roles in the north of the city and in the east of the city.
Right.
So when I saw this post advertised about 2 years ago, my own job is due to come in end due to the grant finishing.
Sure.
And I thought it was an opportunity to come back into my own area. I live here to work with an organisation that I think are pretty good. Our parent company is the New Housing Association. And
right.
Like most housing associations, they look at regeneration as being more than about buildings and very much about people and the economy and how they mix and interact socially and the opportunities that are available to them.
And presumably that's what the centre is here for. What kind of, what's the main aims of the centre?
The centre was built after years of consultation with the community from Thenew and also a local activist group called Calton Area Association, made up of local residents. And they're very much a campaigning group and they were looking at the physical environment as much as they were at other stuff. So they formed a partnership with Thenew to address some of the stuff that came out of the consultation. And one of the things that came up was that people needed a facility that would give them an opportunity to socialise with each other,
sure.
to give their kids an opportunity to attain things within their own area, whether that be kids' clubs, dance classes or family activities. And then, of course, as they got older, access to learning opportunities on their doorstep. So it was built out of that demand. Unfortunately, we managed to get the funding through the lottery. We've built up a centre that provides a lot of that stuff but also is becoming self-sustaining or working towards that because we also hire out as a sort of conference venue. So a lot of people at NHS, Glasgow City Council, come and hire us for conference facilities and that helps us to subsidise the community activities that we run.
Right, So it is a proper community centre as
Absolutely.
Far as that's concerned. Yeah,
we're open 7 days from 9 in the morning until 9 at night weekdays. And at the weekend, all day Sunday and Saturdays are depending on family functions and communions, christenings, all that sort of thing.
Sure.
So we've been open less than 2 years. We are slowly establishing ourselves as a community hub. We've still got a long way to go because there's quite a few residents in Calton that are probably aware of us but haven't used us yet. And so we need to work on that and see if we can reach even more people. I think we're doing well, but there's always more work to do.
Sure.
Yeah.
And obviously the title of the centre includes heritage and learning. So, what kind of things are you concentrating on as far as both of them are concerned?
Well, the land that the building was built on was actually a memorial garden. It was underused, overgrown, locals didn't really know it was there, but what it was commemorating was an incident in 1889 involving weavers. So there was a weaving shed just sitting on Glasgow Green behind the facade of the brand new Templeton's carpet factory, and there was a freak storm in Glasgow and it knocked the facade down onto this building, caused a fire, and 29 girls and women were killed, ranging in age from 14 to 25.
Sure.
So the agreement with the council for us to build in this land was that we continued that commemoration in some way, and the community were wholeheartedly behind that idea. So what we now have is, instead of the garden, we have a path with each of the girls' names written on there and each of their ages. Our opening day was on the 1st of November because that's the anniversary of the accident. And each year we commemorate that. In fact, we're working with a playwright called Phil Differ at the moment, and we've asked Phil to write a play about what happened in 1889. So that's going to be called An Ill Wind.
An Ill Wind.
And we're hoping that will premiere here on the anniversary this year, on the 1st of November, that's reliant on the outcome of funding applications and things, but
sure.
We're working on that at the moment to really bring that story to life. But we've done small things like going outside and having a candlelight vigil and actually reading out those girls' names,
right.
Which probably hasn't been done in a long time.
Yeah.
Last year for our second anniversary, our first anniversary, sorry, the ladies from Celtic Media Association chose to be one of those girls, imagine what their dreams and aspirations were when they were going to work that day, and then they each took a part and presented what they thought those dreams would be.
Sounds like quite an emotional event. Yeah.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. It's important to us because Carlton has quite a bad reputation, and there's a slogan that came out a couple of years ago from a professor who described Carlton as a place where people have hard lives and early deaths.
Yeah.
And the wider Carlton ward, men statistically die in their mid-50s. And there's some real negative perceptions about Carlton, things like Carlton Tongs win the gang culture. And
it used to be known as Tongland, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And you'll still see remnants of that around with graffiti and things like that. And that's a reputation that's hard to get rid of. And unfortunately, what happens is that people internalise that and almost live it and don't see themselves as being worth much.
So do you feel is it a case that if you connect the people that live here today with the history, is it a case of giving them back a wee bit of identity?
Absolutely, they'll be able to look back and see what a strong working class culture Carlton had, and that's the families they come from, and that still very much exists today. And you know, we should celebrate that. Absolutely, there are issues in Carlton, but I think the more that we label areas and describe them by their data zones, and you know, people do internalise that and take that image on. And I think we need to present a far more positive picture. There are strong, hard-working families here. There are good relationships, a good, strong sense of community. People genuinely help each other out. They're so welcoming to others coming into the community. But nobody really sees that, because the other images and the pictures that are sold about the area are far stronger and far more visible. So I think the centre has a role in tackling that and helping people see the good in themselves and the good in their community. And I think that if people see themselves in that light, they're more likely to behave that way and work towards creating a better community for themselves.
That's right. I mean, it, obviously, looking at the history, you're talking about something that happened in the 19th century right next to the brand new Templeton factory.
Absolutely.
And that's obviously still there. You're saying that they didn't have anything to show to the rest of the city they had an identity?
I think then they did. I think there was a real strong culture through folk songs, and I think people got up, went to work, they established relationships with others in the community through that work, and there was a real strong industry in this area, not just Carlton but Bridgeton, Dumarnock, Parkhead. You had the steel industry, the cloth industry, carpets. It was huge, so people could relate to each other through that. I think there's been such a decline in that type of industry that that's had major effects on the people living here.
Less of a focus,
and there's not been much to replace that. Scotland's focused in different things, the finance industry, and you know, all this other stuff, but local people are not trained to take part in that, so they've lost that sense of identity. And I feel in Glasgow as a whole, we've got a subculture where we are almost demonising those that aren't working. We're demonising people who have addictions and their families, and I think that is so harmful to folk. So we just want to remind them where they come from, and that they're valuable and they're worthwhile, and that this is a good area to live. And try and turn that on its head and create opportunities where learning is something that people just do. It's a lifelong thing. You do it in your family. It's a good thing to do. There's a saying that kills me in the west of Scotland, which is, don't forget your old arse. excuse the language. It's a saying that I hear time and time again when people are trying to improve their circumstances, and I think we should forget that and actually allow ourselves to improve and take up opportunities. And the roles of facilities like this and many other agencies and organisations in the area are to provide the opportunities and help people overcome whatever barriers prevent them from doing it. And if that barrier is because they suffer from stigma or they don't have that sense of self-belief and self-worth, then we have a role to play. We need to help them move past that.
And in your in the work that you've done, have you seen that actually have an effect
on
people?
Absolutely. We do a lot of work with people around cognitive behavioural therapy, so it's really helping people challenge the conditioning that they've been exposed to throughout their life that's maybe led them to have negative beliefs about their potential, about their ability to change their lives, to improve, to move into certain types of jobs. So many people limit themselves to certain jobs because that's just what people from here do. So we do that. We work with a local college, Glasgow Kelvin College, and we work with Glasgow University to try and open up those doors to local folks. So we've now got a steady stream of people doing their HNCE, working in communities with the college, and then going into the degree programme at Glasgow Uni. I myself went through that journey, and there's a whole load of community workers who did come through that, who are all local, who are now using what they've learned to make sure that that's a process other folk can go through as well. So,
where do you think you would have ended up if you didn't have that kind of support?
Well, before I had that support, I was working part-time in a pub. I was living in the high flats. I couldn't see myself getting past minimum wage. I didn't know what else I could achieve. I didn't know that there were opportunities out there for me or what I was capable of. And now I've got a really good job. I'm working for the uni. I've bought a gorgeous home in the area. My son is able to see his mum achieve all of that as well, so it'll have a legacy with him. And, you know, I might still be working on minimum wage, you know, and thinking that was okay, and that's just
what. And it's the not even knowing that there's an opportunity there, I suppose. Mm-hmm. So part of the centre, are you saying it's, you know, just the mere presence of the centre?
Do you know, sometimes we just need somebody to believe in us and to see the potential in us. Somebody saw it in me and they really gave me some great opportunities, and it just took one person to show me that they believed in me and that I could move on. And that's what we're trying to do here, whether they're a child or an adult. And for some people, they're not looking for that level of support. Some people just want to put their kids in a dance class. But the relationship that those kids will build with other kids in the area through that activity is immense. Parents are talking to each other when they're picking the kids up. From there, they get access to other information. And so mum might decide to do an IT class, or dad might decide to come to one of the events or activities. And before you know it, you've got more and more positive community connections. Mm-hmm. Kids who might not have positive role models in their lives get access to that as well. And it's a byproduct of coming to an activity. So you start with the activity and all of this other stuff comes out of it.
Uh-huh.
So for us, the social stuff that we do, like the tea dances and the, you know, comedy
nights. I saw your Facebook page. It's got a fair whack of events coming up. That's it.
Do you know, we just look for funding opportunities and then we talk to folks and say, what do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
What will we do? What will be fun? Let's have a movie night. You know, that kind of thing.
And you're talking about becoming self-sustaining. Is that is it through these events that that happens?
Not necessarily, because we don't charge for these events. The very few that we do charge for is to cover costs.
Mm.
So we've got a comedy night coming up. The cost of the tickets doesn't cover the cost of the event. We subsidise that through funding. But it does give people access to that type of activity cheaper than they would if they went elsewhere. And a lot of people living here wouldn't go to the Stand Comedy Club in the West End. A lot might know it exists, but they probably wouldn't go. So they can do it locally.
And who's going to be appearing at the comedy night?
We've got Bruce Morton, a fantastic comedian who also starred in a play we did just recently called From Calton to Catalonia. And that was a play that looked at the families who left Calton to go to the Spanish Revolution and support the Spanish and their efforts there. And a lot of them didn't come back, so that was a play around that. So Bruce is coming back for the comedy night. We have Phil Differ, who's famous for writing for things like Only an Excuse.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Susie McCabe and another fantastic lady, Susan Morrison. So it'll be a full night entertainment.
That's Phil Differ, obviously, you were talking about earlier. Is he got an association with the area?
Not really.
He's just shown interest.
Basically, because he was involved with the guys who produced From Calton to Catalonia.
Mm.
We established a relationship and we chanced our arm and said, what's the chances of you helping us with your play?
Sure.
Guy's been fantastic, such a support. So hopefully we'll be able to take that forward with some funding from Creative Scotland, and the application's being submitted, and we need to wait and find out. If that's not successful, we'll look at Plan B. But right now, that's what we're looking to do.
That's right. Nah, don't even think about Plan B at the moment. Just hope that this...
Let's get Plan A in action.
That's right.
You know? So we've been working quite closely with Fair Play, who are consultants that are quite heavily involved in producing these types of events.
And is that quite important, just building the various partnerships there? You talk about Creative Scotland and the various partners, even in the area.
Absolutely, we work so closely. Yeah. Well, obviously, Theney Housing Association is our parent company, so they have a whole community regeneration team who work quite closely with us. So that can look at welfare reform and the types of advice that they can help people with from within the centre. There's a digital inclusion programme, so again, that's helping people who might need to deal with universal credits and do that online or make housing applications online. It's tooling people up with skills to be able to do that. Benefits advice, housing advice, all that sort of stuff. We have an employability programme that Theney delivers, so that's a 10-week programme, 3 days a week, to people who've been unemployed for a wee while, and it's supporting them in partnership with Glasgow Kelvin College to get back into work. And from that, we've got all sorts of wee sort of satellite groups that are coming out of that, where it's peer support without any sort of tutors coming in or guidance workers. They start to do it on their own and help each other, which is fantastic. The work with the college and the uni has been crucial for us. And then, of course, the people that fund us, we're funded by the lottery, and it's a 5-year funding programme which is designed to support us in becoming self-sustaining. So it tapers off each year and allows us to build up our own revenue, and that's working out quite well. We've got great support from the organisations that hire the venue. They do that on a regular basis. Big customers, the NHS, who they've been fantastic. A great support to us, because they know that by hiring us, and they need the venue space anyway, and they're going to be paying for it somewhere, so they can get it a wee bit cheaper here. They still get an excellent quality of service. But they know that that money is subsidising some of the other stuff that we're doing in the community.
Paperback and Kindle editions of Scott Docherty's best-selling Glasgow travel guide, We Glasgow, are available on Amazon today. Follow Scott on Facebook or see his Twitter feed at Top 10 Glasgow for more.
We're always raising funds, looking for grants. There's a whole range of people we go to. Glasgow City Council celebrate last year through the lottery, gave us some money to put a fake beach in the Carlton during the Commonwealth Games.
Well, I was about to ask about the games and what kind of effect that had in the area.
Well, people kind of felt a bit excluded from it. Some people, not everybody, but they felt it was happening in Kilmarnock, so the investment was going to Kilmarnock, all the change was happening there.
It's almost leapfrogging Kelton,
bypassing us. There was some investment through some lighting strategies at the council, and there was some investment through arts programmes. But Celebrate gave us the chance to say, right, how do we include local folk in the celebrations for the Commonwealth Games? So we came up with the idea of a beach party in Kelton. And it was really funny, because when we spoke to people about the idea, we got a lot of negative feedback. Oh, that'll never work in Kelton. The wains will destroy the sand, and, you know, there'll be druggies hanging around, and it won't be safe, and people will wreck it.
Where was that feedback coming from?
It came from some locals, it came from some agencies. Just people in general thought that it wouldn't work because of the disreputation that Kelton has.
And you're saying that, you know, even if it's coming from the locals, that's, again, people just not thinking that they themselves would be able to kind of break their...
Absolutely, they start to believe how the perceptions that other people have of them.
If you tell someone something often enough, they'll start to believe it. Yeah,
not everybody. There's some very proud people, but I believe even then it affects folk, even if they're not aware of it themselves.
Do you find that's quite tough to crack through? I mean, you know, people that have kind of entrenched themselves into that idea that they're, not worth anything, or they've just found their place in life. you know, and you've got to kind of crack through that a wee bit.
Do you know, I think with the right resources and the right support, and if organisations are motivated to make a difference in that area, I actually don't think it's that difficult, because I'm a result of that process, and many of my friends and colleagues in this work are the same. We can see it. The issue for us is that getting funding to put that kind of support in place is always going to be difficult. And with austerity and, you know, the way things are going with cutbacks, it's getting more and more tricky.
Must be tough to see, though. I mean, you're obviously putting a fair amount of effort in the East End, mm-hmm. and you kind of look closer to the centre and the West End and all of the funding that's mm-hmm. shown mm-hmm. itself over there. You must
Absolutely.
Wonder, you
know, why... What's going on?
Aye.
What's going on? Yeah, it's difficult, and I think every single area that's described as deprived in Glasgow is facing the exact same challenges. And unfortunately, we're all competing against each other to mm-hmm. bid into funds, so it's incredibly difficult. But I do think there's ways around it, and if your ideas are coming genuinely from the community, funders are more likely to buy into it. If you get the right partners involved, then you can cut your costs and still deliver excellent stuff. But you have to be quite creative, and you have to be really good at knowing who's who and what's what and pulling in favours. I think every community worker has to be described as a chancer.
A chancer.
An absolute chancer, or opportunist, whatever. But, you know, you have to be able to see opportunities where they are and jump all over them. And you know, that's a skill in itself, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think community workers become quite good at that.
That's right. That's
it's easier to ask for somebody else, isn't it? Always is.
Yeah.
But it'll remain a long-term challenge.
You say challenge, and I presume it's quite a tough job, but is it the kind of job that you see light at the end of the tunnel quite a lot that encourages you to keep going?
I couldn't imagine doing anything other than this, to be honest. It can be frustrating, because, you know, you can make a difference with the right resource at times, but also... you know, without sounding too soppy, when you do see somebody start to feel a wee bit better about the circumstances, to start to believe that things can change for the better, and that they actually have some control over that, and, you know, and you see people coming together, it does make a huge difference to you. Yeah. So if you're coming in Monday morning at 9 o'clock and you really can't face your work because you've had a great weekend, actually, within an hour of working with folk, you realise...
It's the working with the people, isn't it? Yeah.
They're right back and you love it. Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't be in this line of work if you don't get that feeling.
That's right.
You shouldn't
That's
be doing
right.
it. It's a good job to do.
So, looking at your programme of what's coming up, obviously you've mentioned the comedy night. I see you've got something called the Urban Fox programme.
Urban Fox are a youth project that work East End wide, and as far as Castlemilk actually, and all the way up to the north of the city. So Senu themselves managed to get some funding through the People and Communities Fund to bring these guys in to deliver a service in Calton. So they're here Thursday nights, Friday nights and Sunday nights, and throughout the summer they do away days and all that sort of stuff. And the other youth group we work closely with is Peak, who are Possibilities
for
Each and Every Kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're fantastic as well. They're in every Monday and they work with under 12s. And they also work with Urban Folks. It's a joint programme on a Friday night as well.
What's the take-up like of that?
It really depends on the activities and what else is happening in the area. So some weeks it can be fantastic and you've got a full range of kids and they're all involved. And other weeks it can be quiet because there's something happening elsewhere, you know, and the kids are away to that. But the two organisations are absolutely brilliant at bringing kids through their clubs, but then creating volunteering opportunities, and then it becomes sessional work. And I think all of the Peak staff themselves started off as that, and then are now staff and running programmes and are, you know.
So it's not just about providing. It's not just about providing a break for the parents sort of thing. It's you're actually kind of trying to build something
up there. Develop the kids and. You know, just like the work we're doing with everybody, give them opportunities.
And you've got a community choir.
Mm-hmm. Actually, what happened was during the Commonwealth Games, Glasgow Life said, we really need a choir to welcome the Queen's Baton really into the city, into Glasgow Green. So we're hoping some folk from the local area will, you know, get together and form a choir to perform two songs. So, you know, ourselves and Bridgeton Community Learning Campus got together and said, right, let's see if people are interested. So we ended up, we acquired about 25 people who worked non-stop to perfect these two songs, and they didn't tell us until nearly the time that we had to be in Glasgow Green for 6:15 in the morning. So that caused a few sad faces, but we went and we did that and we got such a kick out of it, and it really made us feel included in the games, to be honest. And from that, we went to the City Council's Area Partnership and asked if they could help us fund the establishment of an actual choir. So, and the idea behind that was that we could get local folk together, not just to sing in a choir, but actually build relationships and get to know one another. And communities in the East End can be very territorial, and Calton's no different. So Calton and Bridgeton are divided by a road, but we've brought together people from both sides of that road and they've formed a
choir. Why do you think there is a divide?
I think it's just a long-standing thing that came from Glasgow's gang culture. But what I've found is some adults still feel that. Mm-hmm. They still feel that divide. It's two very, very separate areas. Others don't. But, you know, we wanted to help cross that barrier. There was a sense that if you came from Calton, you couldn't go to the centre in Bridgeton and vice versa. And we wanted to break that down. And
I suppose you're almost in between, aren't you, this?
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't see it as Calton-Bridgeton. You know, I see it as one area because I've lived in different parts of all these areas, you know. So it's just my community. And I don't think we should be defined by geographical borders.
So in the choir then, you're finding that there's people coming from both
those
areas? People
coming from both. And we practice every Friday at 3:30. We alternate the venue between the two community centres. And we're hoping to make a CD, which we can sell to use funds for other activities in the centre.
Is this the Wailing Weavers Community Choir?
Yes, we've just come up with that name 2 weeks ago.
Ah, right, okay.
The Wailing Weavers. So they're just a group of local folk. They're absolutely fantastic. We did a sort of flash mob in Clyde Gateway's new bus just recently, which was absolutely fantastic.
I've never seen that on Facebook, that's right.
And we're really lucky because Clyde Gateway, although we're out with their area, they know that we work with folk from within their boundaries. And so they've put some investment into the centre for this year as well, mm-hmm. towards core costs, which is normally very difficult to get. So they've done that this year, which has been a phenomenal support, and part of that will support the continuation of the choir.
Brilliant.
We're absolutely delighted.
Is it your own songs that you're singing, or is there just...
No, we practice. We started with some traditional Scottish songs, but we've been doing like Bob Marley's One Love and all sorts of wee foreign songs as well that just get us started. So
sure.
It's all very modern and contemporary.
And once the CD's ready, where are you likely to be able to pick that up?
From the centre itself, mm-hmm. absolutely, and any other partner that's willing to sell it on.
Sure.
We'll be around chatting doors.
Chancing it again.
Yeah, absolutely, being
Credit
a chancer.
Too. That's right.
Yeah.
So all these kind of events that you arrange, you know, it's obviously a busy centre, but, you know, what do you think all of them together bring to the community?
Exactly that, a sense of community, mm-hmm. you know, things where... I'll give you an example. At Easter, we wanted to have some kind of event for the kids so they could all get a wee Easter egg. But we thought, well, actually, the place is getting a bit run down. It's starting to look a bit tired. Community safety are always looking for volunteers to clean the place up. Why don't we do an Easter clean-up? And as a reward for volunteering, you get your wee Easter egg at the end. So we had parents and families out doing that together. And it's shown that the value of their community, and it's worth looking after, and that actually you can take responsibility for it as a group of people. So we did that, and we had tea and coffee stands outside, which was given out free. Local folk were serving it. People were popping past and just stopping for a cup of tea. If the sun's out, we'll put tables out and give out tea and coffee. And before you know it, they're coming in and they're joining programmes, you know. I think that it just gives people somewhere to go. If they're having a bad day, they'll come in for a cup of tea. If they need a bit of information, they'll come in and ask. If the kids want to take part in the youth group, they'll come along and bring the kids to the youth group. But before, Calton didn't have anything like that.
Sure.
And that's why during the consultations that the Senior and Calton Area Association did, it really was strongly highlighted that it was a priority for the community. They wanted their kids to have access to training and education, and they wanted somewhere where the kids could play as simple as that. Or they could have a family party, yeah. You know. And so that's what we do. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I'm really proud of it. I think we've got a long way to go. We're a small organisation. It's, you know, the building's not the biggest, but I think what we managed to squeeze in a week is pretty phenomenal, yeah. You know.
And that's right.
I think we've got a lot of support for the local community because they come, they volunteer, they offer their time. Come to wee fundraisers, they help us make costumes, they created a Christmas grotto in here, that was parents that did that, you know, somebody was Santa and somebody else was putting up lights and we had a fake fireplace, so people are being creative and yeah. helping each other out, and there's a sense of ownership of that, you know, it's no things being done to them, it's working with them to just make a wee difference in the Kelvin.
Sure.
I don't think we'll know the difference for a long time.
You know? Well, I remember reading about the Carlton Action Barris Plan as
mm-hmm,
well.
Mm-hmm,
yeah. Do you know much about that?
I do, yeah. It's they've been going for a while now, and it's headed up by Yvonne Kuchuk, who's our local councillor. Very passionate person who has established the People Development Trust in Dalmarnock after a long, 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 long fight. So she's trying to do similar work in the Carlton, and she's managed to bring a lot of business minds and a lot of community minds together, and we're really hopeful that that's going to contribute to the bigger picture in Carlton, you know. And a lot of the people that are involved in that are doing fantastic stuff. Like you've got Barra's Art and Design,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and the Barra's, you've got the church being established and been turned into a music venue.
It looks.
That's going to be amazing what that will bring. You've now got Pigeon Perfect who are bringing artist studios and all sorts of artistic activity to the Barra's and to Carlton. So I think there's a lot of opportunities that are going to come out of that.
That's right. It must be quite exciting just being involved in all of that. And I just wonder how you feel when you see firsthand every day the kind of things, the regeneration happening.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
As you say, it's going to take a long time.
Absolutely.
But how do you feel when you still read all this about life expectancy and poverty and all that, and
mm-hmm.
that there seems to be just one story in the mainstream media?
Yeah, I find it disappointing, frustrating and quite disgusting, actually, that it's always sensationalising it. People live here, it's their children, their grandchildren, and there's just this idea that Carlton's full of, as people would describe them, Neds. That's young people they're
yeah.
talking about. Those are people that are going to grow up and be dads and bring up families, and they've got a right to feel good about themselves, and they've got a right to feel valued by society. And constantly being described in a negative way, or being told they're going to die young, or that it's a really poor community. Yep, there are all these problems exist. But I would argue that the very fact that we keep highlighting those aspects of the community, I think you're just making them worse. We have to change it, and hope does amazing things to people. Having a wee bit of confidence and self-esteem and having bigger aspirations really helps people move forward. But if you're constantly getting bogged in by these stories, it has real negative impacts. And it's on kids, you know, it's not just adults. These kids are going to grow up with listening to this all the time. I find it the most frustrating part of the work that I do.
You seem like a bit of a fight against that.
Absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely. Because we're dealing with the effects of it, you know. Having grown up in the East End, I've suffered the effects of it. And fortunately, I've been exposed to people and training and opportunities that have helped me see through that. But not everybody's had those opportunities, and they're constantly bombarded by all this negativity. And I think the Carlton and the East End in general is a fantastic place to live, and it's full of fantastic people. I recognise that there are issues and they won't go away overnight, but I think they're being made worse by that kind of negative press.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So for people that don't really know about Carlton but want to find out a bit more about it, where should they go?
Come see me, I'll give you a tour. I'll give you a cup of coffee, we'll take you round. We've got a history group who are working quite hard to create tours for local folk, They can come down, talk to us, find out anything they want to find out. So get involved in activities, we'll put them in touch with the right people. Our door's open, just come see us.
And your website?
Our website's www.carltonhlc.co.uk. So you can go in there, make an inquiry on the website. You can get in touch with us through Facebook. Just search for Carlton Heritage and Learning Centre. You can email me directly at rosemary.robertson@carltonhlc.co.uk. Or give us a call on 550-9573.
Fantastic. So what are you looking forward to most now?
We've got a pyjama party on Saturday afternoon.
Oh, there you go then.
So I'm going to buy the ice cream shortly for that. I think that'll be fantastic.
Is that going to involve movies as well?
We're going to watch The Lion King. We're going to eat ice cream and popcorn and lie on the floor and quilt covers.
Fantastic.
Just a wee afternoon.
Well, after all that work you'll be doing, no doubt you'll be falling asleep fairly quickly.
I probably won't see, I never see the end of a movie.
That's
always
right,
fall asleep.
That's right.
And then, of course, we're planning our summer programme, so we'll be able to get that up on the website and Facebook page soon.
Brilliant.
But again, working with partners, there'll be another carnival parade we're getting involved in, and lots of events at Elko Gardens, and hopefully loads of stuff.
Yeah.
Well,
it's been amazing talking to you, Rosie.
Thank you.
It's been a bit of a learning curve for me, just listening to the life that you've led and, you know, what's led to now and the work that you do. It's it's inspiring stuff.
Okay,
so thanks very much for
keep it going.
That's right. So thanks very much, and you've been listening to Glasgow Conversations.
You've been listening to Glasgow Conversations. For more interviews, subscribe on iTunes and visit the Top 10 Glasgow Guide.